Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen. Today we consider the Word of God in Acts chapter 5, verses 35 to 42, a portion of our first reading for this morning. Reading beginning with the 35th verse as follows. And Gamaliel said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus, who was bold and courageous on our behalf, dear fellow redeemed, I was preparing my message for this morning, and I was trying to recall whether I had ever heard the phrase "riding the fence" used in a complimentary way, but I don't think I ever have. To ride the fence means that a person is in the middle, that he's undecided, that he could go either way on a certain issue. And certainly there is a time for caution and for prudence. But in most areas of life, riding the fence is a very pejorative term. It is a bad thing. And the person who does it is often seen as weak and vacillating and unable to make up his mind. Certainly not an asset when it comes to political campaigns, as we've seen with a number of candidates in recent memory. A candidate will go to almost any length not to be branded as a flip-flopper or someone who vacillates, someone who rides the fence. I think most people as individuals would like to think of themselves as courageous and decisive. None of us would like to be characterized as a fence rider. But there is one area in our life where riding the fence is more than just a character flaw. It can be eternally damning. And that is in the area of our spirituality and our faith. This morning we'll consider one of the premier fence riders in the history of the world, a man named Gamaliel. From his bad example of timidity and indecision, the Holy Spirit would direct us rather to a life of faith, one which engages in decisive action for Christ. Join me this morning, therefore, as we consider the theme, "In matters of faith, there's no riding the fence." Faithless skeptics never cease to preach caution. On the other hand, faithful disciples never cease to preach Christ. Gamaliel is an interesting character in the New Testament. He was a grandson of the great Jewish teacher, one of the greatest Jewish teachers ever, a man named Hillel. Gamaliel was the teacher of Saul, by the way, sometime before he became the Apostle Paul. Gamaliel was one of the greatest scholars and most recognized and admired rabbis among the Jewish leadership. It's even speculated that Gamaliel may have been among those doctors of the law with whom the boy Jesus spoke about God's word in the temple when he was young. Gamaliel was one of the sect of the Pharisees, which meant that he put great emphasis on the strict outward keeping of the Jewish ceremonial law. When it came to this novel teaching that happened to be going around about Jesus of Nazareth, that he had somehow risen from the dead, that he was the Son of God and possibly Israel's Messiah, Gamaliel was strongly skeptical, to say the least. And above all, he was a cautious man. And that's not surprising. because over the history of the world, faithless skeptics have never ceased to preach caution. And that's what Gamaliel did. In this case, several of the apostles had been arrested for confessing their faith and preaching Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, healing many sick people in the Lord's name. The Sadducees, who were often bitterly in conflict with the Pharisees, the Sadducees wanted to put these apostles to death. However, Gamaliel said that wasn't the best idea. He preached caution. He said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men." And then you remember he brought two examples from the recent history of Israel, two men, Theudas and Judas of Galilee, who had been religious zealots, who had led extremist religious movements. Both men had quickly been captured and killed, and their followers dispersed, and their movements had come to nothing, faded away without a trace. "These followers of Jesus of Nazareth," said Gamaliel, "they may well end up the same way." His advice was to wait and see. "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men." And they agreed with him. Let me ask you this. Do you agree with that advice? Did he convince you? I have to admit that the first time I read this text, it was kind of convincing to me. Gamaliel's advice sounded pretty logical. If this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. Seems to make sense, first glance. If a work or an institution is of human origin, it'll fail all by itself. You don't have to help it along. If a work or an institution comes from God, then there's nothing you can do to combat it, struggle as you may. Seems like very sensible advice. In fact, it seems like a model of tolerance and prudence. And in fact, I actually ran across one sermon on the internet that used this as its text, and the topic was tolerance and tolerating people and ideas. The preacher, who was a woman, used these words of Gamaliel to urge her hearers to be tolerant toward homosexuality in the church. "We should find out," she said, "whether it is from God or from men before we pass judgment." Thought struck me when I was reading her sermon that she could very easily find out if it was from God just by turning to the first chapter of Romans. Actually, if you look a little more deeply at it, Gamaliel's advice isn't as good as it sounds. You don't have to dig down very far before the logic of his argument starts to break down. For instance, just because a religion or a movement is of human origin, does that always mean it's going to quickly fade away to nothing? No, obviously not. Islam is a great example. It's an idolatrous religion that comes from man, not from God, but 1/3 of the earth's population are followers of Islam. It's been around for centuries and no doubt will be around as long as the earth remains. The same could be said of Buddhism or Taoism, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They will all eventually come to nothing, as Gamaliel said, but that may not happen until the day of judgment arrives. Even less logical is the second statement that Gamaliel made. "But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." Which immediately raises a logical absurdity. Who would ever want to fight against God? How silly for a religious leader to be urging his hearers not to fight against God. If what the disciples were doing, preaching the gospel, healing the sick, spreading forth the good news of the kingdom of this risen Savior, if what they were doing was from God, why wasn't this leader of the Jews urging his hearers to follow them, to believe that gospel, to believe the good news and be saved? But faithless skeptics never cease to preach caution. "Take heed to yourselves," he told them. "Be cautious. Take care what you do. Let's ride the fence for a while and see how things go and find out what happens. When all the evidence is in, when we see what happens to these disciples of Jesus, then we can make an informed decision." It all sounded like words of wisdom. when really, when you look at it, it's the height of folly. In the beginning of the American Civil War, there were many people, especially along the border states, who were determined not to take sides in the conflict. They had loyalties on both sides. A story is told of a man from Northern Virginia who showed up at the first battle of Bull Run in Manassas wearing a half-and-half uniform. He wore a jacket of Yankee blue and pants of Confederate gray. He said he staunchly refused to take sides. Might have seemed like an expedient manner until it turned out that once the battle began, the Confederates were shooting at his blue jacket and the rebels were shooting at, or the Union people were shooting at his gray pants. So that didn't work out very well. And the same thing's true in the matter of faith. There is no riding the fence. He who hesitates is lost. Gamaliel hesitated. He preached caution. He refused to receive or believe the good news of a Savior from sin. Yes, Gamaliel hesitated, and as far as we know, was lost. What about you and me? We look at our lives and we have to admit that we have not always taken advantage of all the opportunities we've had to share the gospel, to preach Christ. When we should have been bold, we were timid. And those opportunities are so precious. You never know when you're going to have them. You'll never know when another one is going to arrive. So often, sadly, we fail to take advantage of them. We fail with people that we know and people that we love, people we run into at the office, co-workers, family members. When we have a chance to do good, to speak a fit word where just a word of the gospel might make all the difference for a person, so often we're embarrassed, we hold back, we mumble something non-committal, we're cautious, or we keep silent altogether. We sit on the fence. We need to wake up and realize that in matters of faith, there's no riding the fence. All it takes to snap us back to reality is to be reminded of what our Lord Jesus said to the lukewarm church at Laodicea. You remember his words to them? They were spiritual fence riders. The Lord said, "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." To our shame, we have to admit that we too, all too often, have been guilty of riding the fence in things spiritual. But before you get too discouraged, I'd like to remind you of somebody who never once rode the fence. Someone who made a right decision and stuck to it. Someone who always fought the good fight and never vacillated, a man who, for your sake and mine, never preached caution and hesitancy, but rather preached the good news of pardon and peace. Jesus Christ never rode the fence, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus, in his mission to bring you eternal life, wasn't paralyzed by caution or inaction or inertia. He didn't take a wait-and-see attitude. He dove right in. He was undaunted by shame and by suffering. "Look unto Jesus," says the writer to the Hebrews, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Yes, we are weak, but he is strong. And Jesus, for the sake of delivering you to eternal life, went all the way to the cross and there poured out his blood so that you might be redeemed. He atoned there on the cross for all your sins and transgressions, all your weaknesses and failings, all your flaws, every misdeed of which you've been guilty, and every shameful stain upon your record. And when God raised Jesus from the dead the third day, it was the proof that he accepted that payment of his Son, and that you really were redeemed, restored, and forgiven. He set with the resurrection his ironclad guarantee upon the work of your eternal salvation. As the Apostle Paul says, Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. All that being true, and the resurrection being true, now the only question left for us seems to be, what can I do for the Savior who has done all this for me? What can I do to show my gratitude and my love and my faith? And our text doesn't leave us in the dark about that either. For while faithless skeptics never cease to preach caution, faithful disciples never cease to preach Christ. When they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Poor Gamaliel. In the end, the very thing that he had warned against was what happened to him. He was found fighting against God. He whipped and persecuted the servants of the true God and charged them not to preach in the name of Christ, not to preach the very gospel that God sent his Son to earth in order to save lost sinners. By the way, we glibly rattle off that phrase, they beat them and let them go, perhaps without understanding what was involved exactly. The apostles were stripped to the waist and beaten with a whip, 39 strokes, in a very public place. It was an extremely public and shameful punishment to inflict. And it was the fulfillment of Jesus' previous warning to his disciples, beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. But in the face of this very public and shameful punishment, how did the disciples react? They rejoiced. They were actually proud to be so publicly shamed for Jesus' sake. They did not equivocate when it came to the gospel, and they did not ride the fence. In fact, when it came time for them to renew their work, they redoubled their efforts and tried to spread even wider the net of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. It reminds me of the work that we have to do here in Tacoma. 8 years ago, we built a church. A few weeks ago, we finished an expansion project, and it might almost seem as if now our work is done. But of course our work is not done. Our work is only beginning. The real work, the work that our Lord put us here on this earth to do, that work goes on, and it's more urgent now than it ever was before. Jesus' words to his disciples are words for us as well. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, for you, it might not be the uttermost part of the earth. You might not be sent as a missionary to Nigeria or Tibet or to India. For you, it might be your next-door neighbor or your coworker or your business partner. But in any case, never cease to preach Christ. Like those faithful disciples, never cease to tell others what great things God has done for you. You needn't be eloquent. You needn't stand on the street corner and force your attentions on passersby. Just be ready. Be ready, as Scripture says, to give an answer to anyone who asks you, a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. As a special friend of this congregation once encouraged us, be ready for those divine encounters every day, and never cease to preach Christ. Riding the fence is an American English idiom. In Germany, they have another colorful idiom, zwischen zwei Stühlen zu sitzen. It means literally to sit between two stools, to be caught between two positions, to be neither in one place nor the other. Clearly, it's not some place we'd want to be. And as Christians, it's not some place that we will be, because we know you can't sit between two stools. In matters of faith, there is no riding the fence. To the end of the age, faithless skeptics will continue to preach caution. May God grant that each of us will continue faithfully to preach Christ. Amen. Please rise.